We're going to turn today to Romans chapter 15. We've been in Romans a long time. We're making really good progress coming toward the back door of Romans. Romans chapter 15. We are, with the help of the Lord, going to consider five verses today. And you know, a one-verse preacher has a hard time preaching five verses. So we're very thankful for God's precious word. And we're going to begin our reading this day in this new section, beginning in verse 8 of Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, verse 8. Let us consider these few verses of Holy Scripture. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy. As it is written, "For this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name." And again he saith, "Rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people." And again, "Praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people." And again, Isaiah saith, "There shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust." Amen. We conclude our reading there at verse 12. And we trust that the Lord will bless His word. The Spirit of God breathed these words through His apostle those many, many centuries ago. May He breathe afresh upon us today for Jesus' sake. Brethren dwelling together in unity. That's what Psalm 133 is all about, but not just Psalm 133. It's also an emphasis in much of the New Testament. By the Lord Jesus Christ Himself and by His apostles, we have been looking at this unity among the people of God extensively in Romans 14 and 15. Now, we read about this the other morning in Pilgrim's Progress, in the Sunday school. This is the dwelling of Japheth in the tents of Shem. That is, the Europeans taking shelter in the tents of Shem. That is, the Hebrew people. And it was prophesied by Noah in Genesis 9:27. But thank God, today, it's not just the European people that are taking shelter in the religion of the Hebrews. The true religion of the Lord Jesus Christ has many adherents from the sons of Ham and the Africans and all of the other ethnic peoples. We had the privilege of having one of our brethren here for two Lord's Days back in the month of May. One of our brothers who was a descendant from the Hamites. Praise God. God bless Brother Richard down in Jamaica today. Well now, down through the millennia of time, great destructions and bloody battles have been carried out between the Hebrews and the Gentile nations. The first campaign of a Hebrew that we read of in the Bible was Abraham fighting against five kings. And God blessed Abraham and he won. And the next one was the greatest empire of the world at that time, the Egyptian Empire. And God sent 10 devastating plagues upon Egypt in order to free his people. And when the Israelites escaped, Pharaoh's army pursued after them, and then God drowned that army in the Red Sea. And of course, Israel in the wilderness, and when they came into the conquest of the promised land, there were many other tribes, the Philistines and other local enemies, as well as the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Persians, and the Romans that the Lord used to defeat and to chastise Israel. And sometimes God used Israel even to chastise them as well. Now, with such a background of racial and national conflicts, wars and wars between the nations, between the Gentile nations and the Hebrew nation, we thank God for our nation, that our nation is foremost in endeavoring to give protection and encouragement to Israel. Well, with such a background of conflict, only the almighty grace of God can bring love and unity among those that are naturally enemies. Let us look at these five verses that set before us the universal nature of Christ's kingdom. There's just two things to note with you here in these five verses. First of all, the subjects of Christ's universal kingdom. The subjects of Christ's universal kingdom. Who are they? And then, the second thing, what are the duties of the subjects of Christ's universal kingdom? So first of all, the subjects of Christ's kingdom. You see it there in verse 8. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. The circumcision, that is the national badge of the nation of Israel. Christ came as the fulfillment of the promises to the fathers, or to the patriarchs, verse 8 is saying. Now, the best confirmation of the promises was the performance of them. And our Lord Jesus Christ carried them out, every one, so perfectly. Christ came to vindicate the faithfulness of the oath-certified truths of the promises of God. And Christ came to minister. Do you notice it says there? Verse 8, now that I say that Jesus Christ was a minister. Good word there. Deacon is the actual word in the Greek. He was a deacon. It means a servant. A minister is a servant. And Christ certainly was a servant. He took upon Him the form of a servant, the form of a slave in our behalf. Philippians chapter 2, verse 7. Christ spent His whole untiring ministry almost entirely upon the Hebrew people. And yet, what did the Hebrew people do after He had spent His entire ministry practically upon them, doing them good, healing the sick, raising the dead, giving sight to the blind, enabling the lame to walk, all the wonderful things He did. What did they do to Him? They rejected the very One who had blessed them from the ancient days even until now. And they spat in the very face of God. They beat Him and they had Him nailed to a cruel cross. And even in such an hour of rejection, our Lord Jesus Christ was still ministering. He was still deaconing. He was still servanting. He was, even from that cross, as He was ministering to them and for them by working out their salvation and bringing in for them an everlasting righteousness by that cross. Praise God, He did it. As a minister, as a servant, especially to the circumcision, to fulfill all the promises to the fathers. The Gentile nations, thank God there's room for us. Gentile dogs have the privilege of coming, not just eat the crumbs under the table anymore, but we have the privilege of sitting at the table and feeding on the bread of life as joint heirs with the Hebrew people. The Gentile nations, notice verse 9. Verse 9, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy. There it is. Now the Apostle Paul, he marshals all of his proofs to show this Gentile salvation, how wonderful it is. From each of the three divisions of the Old Testament, he takes his proofs. And did you know that Jesus Christ put his stamp of approval upon the three divisions of the Hebrew Old Testament? In Luke chapter 24, verse 44, our Savior did that very thing. He said, by putting his seal of approval on them, he said in Luke 24, verse 44, all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, number one. Number two, and in the prophets. And number three, in the Psalms concerning me. And that's where these verses come from, those three divisions. I know there's four verses, but you see, the first one, verse 9, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy, as it is written, where? In Psalm 18 and verse 49, for this cause I will confess thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. And then in verse 10, and again he saith, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. That's from Deuteronomy chapter 32 verse 43, from the law of Moses. And then verse 11, and again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud Him, all ye people. That's from Psalm 117, verse 1. And then verse 12. And again, Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. And I praise God that we as Gentiles have the privilege of trusting the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is the root of David, the one who is the promised Messiah. It's not a natural thing to trust Him. Very natural for us to trust ourselves, to believe that I can do this. But when we're brought to the end of ourselves and we realize that we're nothing but a scumbag of sin, and when we see that Christ is the very righteousness of God, and He gives that freely to those who simply trust in Him and believe Him. What a wonderful miracle of grace has come to be. Now, you notice in verse 12 there, that comes from Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 10. And it's very interesting that Isaiah chapter 11 is immediately preceded by Isaiah chapter 10. You would know that naturally, of course. But in Isaiah chapter 10, from verse 5 all the way to the end of the chapter, it's the boastful Assyrian king Sennacherib is prophesied to be defeated in his boast against Jerusalem and against Hezekiah. So here there was a Gentile that said, hey, I'm going to take his people down. I got a huge army, I'm going to kill them all. And then in one night, angel of the Lord smote 185,000 of them. And you might think it's humorous, but it's not really humorous. They woke up and all the rest of them were dead. And the ones, the few that were left, fled. And then the wicked leader was put to death by his own sons. Well, let us as Gentile believers praise the Lord that it has always been a part of His holy purpose to save a vast number of poor, idolatrous Gentiles. So, man, I never worshipped any idols. Every one of us grew up worshipping idols, especially number one, me. I'll do my will. I'll serve myself. I'll be my own God. Mom and Daddy gonna obey me too. You know, that's the way we're born. Mom and Dad are going to do what I say. That's the way we come in as fallen children of Adam. Idolaters. We are our own God. We are idolaters. But praise God. It is God's purpose to deliver a vast number of Gentile idolaters. It's all of God's mercy. You see it there in verse 9. Look at verse 9. And that the Gentiles might glorify God for what? For His mercy. We're not going to glorify God because how good we are. Man, we've been good all our lives. You know, like the rich young ruler, all these things I kept from my youth up, you know, and the Pharisee in the temple. Oh man, I give, I fast, and I do all these wonderful things. I'm not like this guy. You know, we naturally are that way. But praise God for His mercy. We're saved by His mercy. You see it there in verse 10. And again, He said, rejoice, ye Gentiles, with His people. Praise God. Praise Him for His mercy. The fact that we Gentiles have been brought in is at this time is a diminishing of the Hebrew people right now. Chapter 11, verse 12. When the Jewish leaders forbid the apostles to preach Christ to the Gentiles, it was a sign that wrath had come upon the Hebrews to the uttermost. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 16. We do thank God that even at this time, when chiefly Gentiles are being brought to Christ, that there are Hebrews still coming. They're coming to their Messiah. Romans 11, 25. We praise God we have a part of that as a congregation that we give to the Jewish mission started by those Scottish preachers, the first modern mission started in the 19th century to reach the Jews for Jesus. Praise God for that privilege. It's wonderful to read about those people who were alive during the time of the Holocaust. And they're living in Israel now. And some of these poor, benighted, elderly Hebrew people coming to believe in their Messiah. It's wonderful. Well, we've looked at the subjects of Christ's kingdom. Now, finally, let us consider the duties of His subjects. What are the duties? First of all, submission to the enthroned reigning Christ. You see it there in verse 12. And again, Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise, he is risen for what purpose? To reign over the Gentiles. So He's reigning right now. The Lord Jesus Christ is seated on that highest throne. All power is given unto Him in heaven and in earth. All power, all authority is in the hands of Jesus. He must reign until all His enemies are put under His feet. And so what is our duty? Submission to the enthroned reigning King. He's risen to reign over the Gentiles. If you are indeed a subject of Christ's kingdom, you must take His yoke upon you and learn of Him. You must ask Him, as the Apostle Paul did on the Damascus Road, Lord, what wilt Thou have me to do? Let us remember that we are not our own. We have been bought with a price. The price of Christ's precious blood. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20. Have you ever willingly given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ to be your King, to be your leader, to be the one who directs your life? Is He indeed your Lord? Unless you willingly submit yourself to Him, are you not saying, as rebels and enemies, I will not have this man to reign over me? We must submit to Him. For such people who say, I will not have this man to reign over me, an awful day is coming when the Lord, these are the words of Jesus. Listen to the words of Jesus. Bring hither mine enemies and those that would not that I should reign over them and slay them before me. Luke 19:27. It is your duty, it is my duty, not only to submit to King Jesus, but also to rejoice in His mercy. Notice there, verse 8. Now I say that Christ Jesus was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy. The blessing of Jesus Christ came to Israel. Why? Because of the truth of God and the promises that were made to the patriarchs. You see why Jesus came to them? But that's not why He came to us. But the blessing has come to the Gentiles, not because of promises made to our fathers, because we're not connected to the Jews biologically. They're not our ancestors. We're Gentiles. Praise God. Christ and His blessings have come to the Gentiles simply because of the mercy of God. It's like old Luther said in that home, that last verse of that song, last line of that song, we live alone by mercy. We have no other claim but the pure goodness and mere mercy of God. So let us glorify God. Verse 9, for His mercy. Let us rejoice. Let us praise the Lord. Let us laud His name. For this is our duty, to be thankful for mercy. Oh, what an excellent benefits He's bestowed upon those that were strangers and guilty by nature. What did Jesus say? Don't rejoice so much on things on earth. He said, in this rejoice that your names are written in heaven. That's the thing to rejoice in. Let us incessantly admire and adore the Lord for His unspeakable gift of grace. Oh, how we should ever be contemplating the wonders of His love. This is what the saints and angels are doing today in heaven. They're doing it every moment. We have the privilege of joining in with them today and praising Him together. Living to glorify God is fulfilling the great purpose for our existence. Now listen. Living to glorify God is fulfilling the great purpose of our very existence. If we do not live for His glory, it would have been better that we had never been born. It is the duty of Christ's people not only to submit to Him as our King, not only to praise God for His mercy and rejoice in that mercy and glorify Him, but finally, it is our duty to trust in Him. You see that in verse 12? And again, Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles. In Him shall the Gentiles trust. There's that wonderful little word. It is our duty to trust in Him. Christ has come not only to be our Lord, but also to be our Savior. Matthew 1:21, thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Listen to this, Romans 5:9. We shall be saved from wrath through Him. Now those are two different things. Being saved from our sins. Praise God, He's come to deliver us from our sins now. We will be ultimately delivered from our sins. But we are saved from wrath eternally by Him. He's our Savior. He is our Savior as well as our Lord. In Him shall the Gentiles trust. We are to believe Him. We are to believe that He's able, but we're also to believe that He is willing to justify us from our guilt by the gift of His perfect righteousness. And how do we get there? We must renounce all of our confidence in ourselves. We must renounce all of our confidence in our own doing, our reliance on our own works, and we must repose all of our trust in Him alone. For He is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by Him. Hebrews 7:25. So I ask you today, do you indeed trust Christ? Have you placed your life, your soul, your eternity, your all into His almighty saving hands for salvation for all eternity? Are you really trusting in Christ today? What does that mean? The famous French tightrope walker, Charles Blondin, had come to the United States. In the year 1859, he began his series of crossing Niagara Falls on a tightrope 1,100 feet long, stretched 160 feet above the water, across the Canada on one side, the United States on the other side. He went across there several different times. He took a chair. It wasn't too big a deal. He took a man on his back and brought him back. He went out there and cooked him an omelet and ate it right out at the middle of that rope. And he went and got a wheelbarrow. After he had made several trips, he got a wheelbarrow and he pushed it across and he came back. 25,000 people were watching him and they were cheering. And he said, "How many of y'all believe that I could take a man or anybody in this wheelbarrow across?" And they, "Oh yeah, 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 we believe, we believe." And then he said, "Who will volunteer?" And there was a deathly quiet. And finally, one man came forward and said, "I will." And he got in a wheelbarrow, and Blondine successfully carried him all the way across to safety. Do you trust Christ in that way? Completely, not relying on anything of yourself, just relax in His arms and let Him carry you all the way across to safety eternally. For in Him shall the Gentiles trust. What a wonderful salvation. Let us pray together. Oh God, our Father in heaven, we are thankful for Thy mercy to us. Oh Lord, that Thou wouldst include us. Lord, we grieve even as we think about the multitudes of the poor pagan ancestors of ours. Some of them in the Black Forest of Germany, and some of them running around across this continent, as Native Americans, without Christ, without God, without hope in the world. And yet, Lord, Thou hast brought this truth, this glorious gospel of salvation to us. We give Thee thanks. For we are not worthy, but Christ is worthy. Christ is worthy to have a vast seed. So, Lord, we pray that Thou will bless Thy word to our hearts and cause it to bring forth fruit to Thy everlasting glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.